So one of the lines he says in there is, empower every man. Obviously, this is made from a position of hundreds of years ago. Today in 2015, we would say empower everybody, every man or woman. But the idea behind that clip is that the hierarchical structure had become so divisive that instead of it just being the king here and the people here, the king was way up here and all the people were way down below, you know, serving, and you know, the king was kind of special and impressive and important. What we're going to talk about today as we end this series is that idea. And I want you to keep this phrase in mind, that every single person is empowered. And I really want you to think on that word empower, what it means to be given power versus, you know, just kind of knowing that someone else has the power and you're just kind of having to follow along. That's really what he was talking about there. This series, we're ending today. This is the last week. And we've talked about all of these things that we're going to be taking on through the series. And we've talked about trust and purpose and taking on risk and gratitude. And then last week we said we're going to shift into focus of taking on things that we actually do. And so we talked about mission and we said that's something that we can do. And if you didn't listen to that talk last week, it kind of pairs with today. So I'd encourage you to go listen to that on the website. If you were here though, this next piece, this last week goes with it. And this is called leadership, taking on leadership. And anytime I talk about leadership, and I don't care where it is, I've talked about it in many other places, but even at the journey, I'll talk about leadership, and there are always many people who will come up to me afterwards, or if there's a Q&A time, they'll raise their hand, and the discussion revolves around, I'm not a leader, though. Like, I just don't have that gift. I don't have that ability. I've never been tapped for that. Other people are really good at speaking, or other people are really good at doing this or that, and whatever you define as leader, you say that other people can do it, but you're not a leader. What we're going to talk about today is, we think you are. Like, we think every single person in this room has leadership capabilities. And so there's an old debate, is leadership, are you born with it or do you learn it? I don't really care about that. We just believe that anybody can be the kind of person that other people, even just one other person, would want to follow. So we're going to talk about leadership today. And we're going to kind of put a capstone on this series that really it's all been leading to this, that we want to build leaders at the journey, both here at the journey but in every walk of life. So a few things about leadership. We're just going to give you three things today about leadership. And we're going to talk about a bunch of little aspects of leadership, both at the journey but also in your life. And the first one that we want to say is that, kind of what I was saying, you are a leader. So this may be tough for some of you, but I want you to actually say this with me. You're going to say, I am a leader. I'm going to give you 3 seconds. 3 seconds, I'm going to count it. And you're going to say out loud, with as much strength as you can, I am a leader. Okay? You ready? We're all going to do this. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I am a leader. There you go. That's good. Nice inspirational message by Michael. That was good. You really are. What you just said, I want you by the end of today to more fully believe. You may not, you know, even if it just raises 10%, I'm good with that. But we want you to believe and to see yourself as someone who is a leader. Our belief at the journey is everyone has leadership and is a leader in some way, and everybody can make a difference in other people's lives, including you. So the story that we kind of want to use today to talk about being a leader is a story about Peter. Peter was one of the first disciples with Jesus, and after Jesus left the earth, Peter writes some letters. And in these letters, he makes kind of some simple points to the early church about the importance of living holy lives. And it's really a lot of the stuff we were just talking about this series on what we're taking on. And he talks about living these holy lives and that we should be a bit different. And he's talking to the early church, but really it's something for, you know, kind of a principle we can all kind of lay hold of. That there should be something different about how we live. That when people see the kind of love we are showing, they actually both, you know, something about that kind of love and the difference we make, it actually both gives hope to other people and it actually brings hope to us. It kind of gives us a purpose for living and why we're here. So the way to do this is to realize, Peter says, just how important you are, that you really matter. Last week, the way we said it is there's no special people, there's no kings like there was in Robin Hood, but instead everybody's special, including you. And that's where we're going today with this leadership thing. So I'm going to read this little part out of 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5 and 9. Peter says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him. So he's talking about Jesus there. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And you're offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people. Not a couple of you. You all are a chosen people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Peter basically says, and we're going to go through this in a little further, but his real point there is that everybody is special. The problem is that religion has spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years giving the exact opposite viewpoint. The hierarchical structure of religion has basically said there are a few special people, and then there's everybody else. And it has kind of kept this going because it is the few special people that tell everybody else who's the special people. Kind of how, you know, it works. And one of my favorite examples of this comes from a film clip out of a movie called Doubt. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to show you just a few minutes from this film clip. So just watch this and kind of think about the idea of there being special people. Watch this.
Well, I think it's an excellent idea to rethink the Christmas pageant. So last year's effort was a little woebegone.
Oh, I loved it. But I love all pageants, the hymns. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. O come, Emmanuel. O come,
all
right. Faithful.
Thank you, Sister Jane. So what do you think, Father? Is there something new we could do?
Well, we all love the Christmas hymns. But it might be jolly to include a secular song.
Secular?
Yes, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, something like that.
What would be the point of a secular song?
It's fun.
A Frosty the Snowman.
That's a good one. We could have one of the boys dress up as a snowman, dance around.
Which boy?
We do tryouts.
Frosty the Snowman espouses a pagan belief in magic. The snowman comes to life when an enchanted hat is put on his head. If the music were more somber, people would realize the images are disturbing and the song heretical.
I never thought about Frosty the Snowman like that.
Yeah. Should be banned from the airwaves.
So, not Frosty the Snowman.
Oh. It's beginning to look like a lot like Christmas. It'd be fine, I suppose. Parents would like it. May I ask what you're writing down? With that ballpoint pen?
Oh, nothing. It's an idea for a sermon.
You had one right now?
I get them all the time.
Unfortunate.
I forget them, so I have to write them down.
Oh. What is the idea?
Intolerance.
Would you like a little more tea, Father?
Not yet. It's a new time, sister.
What's new about it?
Something inside of people's new.
There is nothing new under the sun.
The church needs to change. We should sing a song from the radio now and then. Take the kids out for ice cream.
Sweet tooth.
Maybe take the boys on a camping trip.
The point being?
We should be friendlier. You know, the children and the parents should see us as members of their family.
But we are not members of their family. We're different.
Why? Because of our vows?
Precisely.
No, I don't think we're so different. You know, sister, I would take some more tea.
And they think we are different, yeah? The working class people of this parish trust us to be different.
Different. I don't think it's too far of a stretch to hear what she's saying there. By the way, Meryl Streep is awesome in that role, if you have not seen it. She is so good. She knows something about that, I am sure. Different, special, set apart. Another word that I would use is above. Just above. The natural, hierarchical, cultural way of thinking, and we just live in that every day. You guys go to work like, you know, we do. We live in a culture that has companies and has government and has all sorts of things that show hierarchy. So why would it not just naturally go to the church? And there's a hierarchy and there are the haves and the have-nots. But Peter seems to be saying something different. And this is nothing new in the New Testament. Peter seems to be saying, as you look at that verse again, as you come to him, the living stone. Let's just kind of pull some of these phrases out and try to understand what he's saying. It's very different than what that nun was saying about being different and set apart and special. The living stone is a phrase used for Jesus from the Old Testament. I remember a few years ago in my backyard, I had to make a retaining wall. If you've ever done this, you know what I'm talking about here. I had to make a retaining wall, and we had these big stones. And I went to a couple places to get different kinds of sand and get the stones, and I asked some advice of people, and everybody said the same thing. Make sure that first stone is completely level and straight and perfect, because everything else is built off of that. And so one of the phrases used for Jesus in the Old Testament is this living stone. This another phrase is the cornerstone. Basically, he's the foundation for the whole building of humanity, really, for the church. So as you come to him, as you come to Jesus, as you come to be a part of the Jesus life, you are a part of this cornerstone, this perfect level stone. And then there's this little play on words that Peter uses to talk about this perfect cornerstone, this foundation. He says, rejected by humans, this is Jesus, Jesus, the living stone. Our foundation was rejected by Jesus, but was chosen by God. So who's special? Jesus is special. Like, Jesus is the special one. If you want to talk hierarchy, put Jesus way up there. And precious to him. But you also, we also, are like living stones. So now here's the cool piece, as Peter uses this play on words. The living stone has now left the building and said, I give to you now, as representatives here on earth, to do the work of Jesus, the foundation. You're now the living stones here on earth to do the work of Christ. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And then he gets really specific. And you're to be a holy priesthood. That word priest is no small word. When we start to think about the word priest, we may have our own preconceived notions, but the priest that he's talking about here was a very specific Old Testament priest. Priests in the Old Testament were special. They were chosen by God. There was a select few. In the New Testament, though, when Jesus comes, and the idea of there being a separation between us and God is gone, and we can now come to Christ on our own, we now are our own priests. We actually get to come to Christ anytime we want. We don't have to go through the Old Testament priests. So all of us are priests. Now for some of you, that seems a little heretical, especially if you grew up in certain traditions, to call yourself a priest. I could totally understand that. But it's the same idea for some of us that it seems heretical to call ourselves a leader. That I have the ability to be something and to make a difference. You do. You are a holy priest. We are a priesthood. We're a group of priests that can come to Christ at any time. And what do? We sacrifice our life. We offer spiritual sacrifices. We serve and we love others and we show the world the living stone within us as we're little living stones. And that's acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He goes even further. But you are a chosen people. You're all leaders, all of you. I said this last week. I said there are people who think they are special called by God. And I told you last week, I've heard the stories, and sometimes people, and I told you, I always wondered, did they have a bad burrito or not the night before? Because they're like, yeah, God told me. God told me that I'm chosen by him, and I'm special, and I'm supposed to go do this. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine, but I bristle at that because that makes other people think they're not. Everybody's chosen. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Man, he adds, not just a priesthood, a royal priesthood. There is something special about followers of Christ. A holy nation. God's special possession. Are you hearing this language? That you may declare the praises of him. You give it all back to Jesus, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. To make this really clear. Just think of it like this. There's only one special person, one cornerstone. That's Jesus. He's everything. The hierarchy begins and ends with Jesus. But we're chosen in Christ as well. And we get the same opportunity, all of us, everybody, to be, as followers of Christ, holy and set apart and chosen to be able to do the good things to help people out of darkness and into light. A royal priesthood. It is interesting to think in this way because it is the opposite of what, again, religion has taught us. I know it's the opposite of religion, what religion taught me. And it took me having to go and learn the Bible and understand what God was saying to go, wait a second, some of this is very human. What is Christ actually saying to us? Not just in 1 Peter, but really throughout Scripture and definitely throughout the New Testament. And so, when we say you're a leader, it's very significant to us. And it comes from this idea. So the second piece of this is you are a leader. The Journey cares a lot about leadership. It's a big deal for us. And we're going to talk a little bit about why it's a big deal and what it means for you. But we want you to know from the beginning that when we talk about taking things on, this is something we'd like you to take on. What it looks like to be a leader. And it does not have to be anything formal. It can be totally informal. It can be just with one person. But be somebody that leads people because you've been chosen. So a couple of ideas from this. We want to tell you that what we do at The Journey is we're about shared leadership. And when we say leadership, we're very rarely ever talking about a singular leader. We're talking about a group of people that can lead and kind of push against the evil of the world with good things. And so there's two things for us about shared leadership. The first one is that we have no senior or lead pastor at The Journey. A lot of people will come to me and to Rob and to Jackie and they will say, man, I really like The Journey. There's something different about this place. And then they'll kind of list some things. I'm like, yeah, I think it's really cool that you guys have food that we can come eat. I really like the relaxed atmosphere. I really like that, you know, the kind of groups you have. I like the way you do movies sometimes, people will say. There's all sorts of things people say. But down to the base level, for me, I think The Journey is extremely different because of this. And all those other things actually spring out of this. Rather than having a hierarchy with a senior pastor, we begin with shared leadership. So what I'm going to do here is uncomfortably and awkwardly have Jackie and Rob come up. So they're here, yes. Because neither of them love this. So I told Rob, I was like, hey, I'm going to have you come up. I said this a few days ago. And he's like, do I get to have rebuttal time? So no mics. Turn that mic off so Rob doesn't come. So they're going to literally like stand here. And we talked about this. This is all they want to do. So they're going to stand here. But I want you... I want you to see your pastors because it matters a lot to us that you see that there are three pastors. And we believe strongly on a couple of things. Oh, there it is. The multiple equal pastors is extremely biblical. The Journey was started on this premise that there needs to always be multiple equal pastors rather than some hierarchy of pastors. And that comes from a lot of places. I'm just going to show you a couple so you can kind of be with us in this. First one I'll show you is Acts 14:23. What happened was Paul and Barnabas would basically go and start churches. Paul, by the way, I'm just going to, little aside. If you want to understand the New Testament, read Acts. Really, just go home and read it. Take one of these Bibles if you don't have a Bible and read the whole book of Acts. Because all the rest of the letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, Corinthians, Thessalonians, all of those letters are to churches that were started in Acts by Paul. And what he would do is he would start these churches. And when they had started and he had, you know, a group of people, he would do this. He would appoint elders for them. And we're going to show in a second, elders is the same word as pastors. There's no separation there. He would appoint pastors, elders for them in each church. And with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. This phrase Paul uses multiple times. That Paul would go into churches and he would in singular churches, one single church, have multiple pastors. And that is how he started things. And for the majority of the time when Paul would go start churches, he did it with somebody else, like Barnabas. He didn't do these things alone. He was kind of showing shared leadership at all times. So for us, that's kind of the key for leadership. A second example of this, I just said that these words are the same. I'll show you this. Just out of Acts 20, 17 and 28, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. Keep watch over yourselves and of all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Just so you understand, if you've ever been in a church that has like a pastor and then it has elders or something like that, that's fine. There's not a right or wrong here. But the reality is the word pastor comes from the word shepherd. It's the same word as elder. In the Bible, there isn't these separate offices. There's one singular office, elder, shepherd, overseer. Peter uses it too. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Be shepherds, be pastors of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Shepherd, elder, pastor, overseer, these are interchangeable words. I understand that some of you could care less about that, but some of you who do, it's an important distinction to understand. Because then what that means is we only have one office, which is pastors. And one of the main reasons that people will put a group of elders over a senior pastor is because, and we're going to talk about this in a second, when you're a senior pastor, there's so much pressure and there's so little accountability that you screw up a lot. And I've seen it over and over again because I know a lot of senior pastors. And so you put elders over them or something, or deacons or somebody to kind of make sure they don't screw up. But we say, now let's get a group of equal people and we're not going to have this hierarchy. What it does then for us is it says, for us, we bring pastors up from within the church. Rob became a pastor after the journey had started. He had been around for a few years, and we brought him up. We were like, man, Rob's a really cool guy. He's a little frightening. We don't want to get hurt, so let's bring him in, bring him into the group. And so he became one of our pastors. Jackie, a few years ago, we did the same thing. We kind of coincided. We were like, well, we would really like to have a woman pastor. And then Jackie just kind of appeared at the journey. We're like, yes, it's perfect. And she just had it all, like literally everything you could want in a pastor. And it was like, boom, she's amazing. So we brought these pastors up from within the church. We don't believe there should just be three pastors. We would be fine adding to this group. In fact, if we want to start churches in the future, which is one of our goals, rather than having some big monolith church, instead having multiple churches, you know, however long that takes is fine. We'd love to bring them up from within our group and have them be a part of those new church starts. So we believe pastors come from within the church. The other thing is it balances weaknesses. People just have different talents and gifts. And when you expect one woman or one man to have it all, the pressure is overwhelming. The responsibility of that is too much for any one person. That's why people, you know, start to crack, because it's just a heavy load. And I know for me, some people will say to me, well, Michael, we know you're the real pastor. I get that every once in a while. Some of you are thinking it right now, right? Michael, you're the real pastor. I am the most obvious pastor. I am. I am louder. I like talking. I enjoy getting up here. I mean, I love this. I really do. It's a passion of mine. I remember when we went to two services, people were like, oh, no, you'll have to talk twice. I'm like, yeah, that's horrible. I'm so disappointed in that. Oh, no. But we have different talents and gifts. And in fact, we have the person that teaches more than those two combined and teaches not as much as me, but quite often is John Stonecipher. He's not even a pastor. So getting up here and teaching has almost nothing to do with being a pastor. It's got a little bit, vision and things like that. But being a pastor has a lot more to do with making wise decisions and helping lead a church to where we want it to go. Next thing is lightens the workload. There's very little burnout. Rob and Jackie, in my opinion, and I don't say this lightly, I say this from my heart. I've been around them together for years. They have more of a pastor's heart than I do. They really do. They just care very deeply about people in a way that even seems different than I do. And so they teach me that, and it's honoring to be around them. You don't see that as much because they're not up front here talking as much because they just don't like to do it. In fact, we have to force them a couple times a year. Get up here, come talk. People need to see you. You have a voice, come on. But when you lighten the workload, there's no burnout. I'm just going to tell you, it's a lot of responsibility to be a pastor. And there's a load with it, because you're just taking on a lot of people's stuff. And if you're doing that alone, it's hard. And when you have other people with you, and they'll attest to this, it changes things. And to be honest, by having that, rather than being burnt out by being a pastor or being annoyed by it, we actually all love it. We talk about it all the time. It's like, man, I love being a pastor of the Journey. I have a joke. I'm like, where else am I going to go? I'll be here in a decade. I have no idea where else I'd go. Love being a pastor of the Journey. But this is one of the reasons. And then the last one I want to say is that there's accountability. The stat that kills me the most is, you may not know this, I don't think I've shared this before, 34% of senior pastors have affairs at some point. So basically, you would think senior pastors would be better than the world because, you know, they go to seminary and they do all those good things. A third of senior pastors end up having affairs. It cracks. It's too much. You've got to have accountability. And it's a really nice thing to know that if I do something, I don't just get to say, well, I did that and I can do whatever the heck I want because I'm the senior pastor. I've got two people going, nope. We need to talk this through. Let's make a decision together. And they're laughing because they do that. So, and then as far as what this means for us, the three of us, is it means that it helps us not have hierarchy at the Journey. The normal way to look at hierarchy, I kind of talked about it before, you have a senior pastor up at the top. I put other words that you might be familiar with in your other parts of your life, CEO, the boss. Then you have kind of this middle group, which is staff. Like in churches, they'll have staff and people like that. And then there'll be directors, things like that. Middle management, you may kind of know that term. And then at the bottom, and actually maybe much bigger than that, is members or just workers, kind of everybody else. What we do is we invert this triangle. We turn it around. And our ideal of leadership and the way we vision leadership looks like this. So it's a circle, but think of it as an upside-down triangle. At the bottom is us. So rather than being at the top, we want to be at the bottom, doing what we think Jesus did, which was serving people above them. And we use that word very intentionally, wisely. We want to be wise people who have experience and knowledge, but are praying that God, and that's something we do pray for wisdom, that God gives us wisdom so we make good decisions for you, both individually but as a group. Then the next step is we go up, is we have care ministers, which is another term is deacons. You may have heard that deacon term. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. That's another group that is designated in the Bible. That's the only other office. There's two offices. There's pastors and deacons. Deacons mercifully serve those above them. And then as you keep going up, you will see that you have the people. And I put that they're the ministers. They are the leaders. That's all of us here. Serving the church and the world for Jesus Christ. And we kind of take that out, and that's what the Journey looks like. So whether you're a pastor or a care minister, or you just are a member who comes to the Journey, you are a minister to us. So, the last thing that I want to say with this, putting this all together, is the Journey empowers you to lead. We basically want you to lead, whether that's informally or formally. So if you guys don't mind just staying up here, do you mind? Is this okay? All right, good. I'm going to have you guys grab one of these sheets. Grab this. This is a sheet that it's blue and a little handout. And we want to give you, first and foremost, a formal way to lead if you'd like to. We have one of what we kind of call a leadership incubator. I just want to throw it out to you to kind of know. We talk about this sometimes. We have a lot of people go, I don't know what that is or what that means. So I'm just going to go through this real quick. That phrase, care minister, I'll put it back up there, that's that middle one, deacons, is a word we use for deacons at the Journey. By the way, the reason we use the word care minister is we did kind of informal polling, and we found that whenever we use the word deacons, people thought of old white men. This is what they thought of. And we were like, okay, well, we don't want you to think of old white men because we want anybody to be a deacon. We want any adult at the Journey to feel that they could, whatever age they are, whatever their background they have. So we use this term care minister, which for us kind of means the same thing, but it comes out of the phrase deacon. Care ministers are servant leaders who are part of a Journey group. and they help the pastors serve the church as a whole. Care minister teams are open if you're interested. I'm just going to go through this real fast. We put together care ministers years ago because we thought, you know, part of the reason that deacons were put into place was the pastors, rather than having to do all the work of the church, need to be visioning and wisely serving the church, and it's hard to do that when they're taking care of all the tasks. So care ministers are supposed to kind of come in and take care of the tasks of the church and help make things happen so that the pastors are able to have that time to do that. It's kind of a cool idea that was put together in Acts. So, number one, the commitment of a care minister. If you are interested in doing this, we just want to throw this out to you. You can do this. Number one, have an understanding of the scriptures regarding care ministers. The other side of this page provides these. I'm not going to go through these, but we put Acts 6, which is when the first deacons were put into place, and then 1 Timothy 3, which gives what a deacon really is, like how a deacon is supposed to be. At some churches, if you've been in religious institutions, you know that sometimes deacons are set apart. In fact, I went to a church for years where deacons were the accountability for the senior pastor. Just messy, real messy. This is not like that. We believe that this is open to anybody. So deacons basically started to free pastors to minister, and deacons do the work of the church. Number two, to the commitment to be a care minister is to lean into a deeper level of commitment at the journey. Some people just want that. You want to be more committed here. That's awesome. We'd love that. We'd love you all to do that. So that's available whether you do this or not. Number three, desire to grow as a servant leader. Remember, our basis for leadership always goes back to serving. Pastors serving. Care ministers serving. People serving. Leadership is serving. The pastors want to empower everyone at the journey to become a servant leader. In some ways, the care minister teams have actually been incubators for pastoral stuff. Jackie started as a care minister and then became, she came and started as a care minister, and for a couple years she did that, and she was just very impressive, and she became a pastor. And so you wouldn't have to do that, but it's kind of a neat thing that way that worked. Number four, join one of the care minister teams. These teams, which are kind of like a journey group, meet once a month, and we ask all care ministers to attend their regular meeting. That's a commitment. We need you to be there. You get to know people, but more importantly, you get to work alongside people. There's something about working with people. And you attend a once-a-month, one-and-a-half-hour meeting that basically breaks up like this. There's a sacred practice and discussion for a half hour, then a discussion on how to grow in servant leadership. We talk about leadership. Again, these are about leadership. And then the last half hour is, are there any church needs? There's been a lot of things that we have done at the journey that started kind of percolating in care ministers, including going to two services. That started percolating with the care ministers, some of those ideas. Number five, be a part of serving by doing a task every other month on the participation schedule. So you know Karen sets that up every month, and we tell her, have our care ministers, you have to be on that. That's one of the kind of commitments that you need to make. And then number six, look for ways to serve at the journey, caring for people who come into the journey's space. This is open to any adult at the journey. We just wanted to share this with you. We wanted to kind of have a handout so you knew. We have a sign-up sheet in the back where we have our participation schedule and all that. We have a sign-up sheet. It's gold, right? It's gold. If you'd like, if you're interested, sign up. Totally sign up. You don't have to commit by signing up. One of us will call you or talk to you in one of these Sundays, and we'll just kind of discuss it with you. No pressure at all. But if you're interested or you'd like more information, you can sign up for that. Final thing, just kind of closing. Whether you do that or not, you never have to be a pastor or a care minister to lead. Informally, we just want to encourage you to lead. It is our church structure that we are all serving someone and leading by serving people above us as Christ did. Everyone leads through serving, and you may be asking, how? Like, how? This is the cool part. Hopefully you've been here for some of these talks this series. That's how. Like, it's really not that complicated. I love leadership. It's a really big deal for me. As some of you know, I'm like finishing my dissertation and my doctorate in leadership. I love leadership. You want to lead? Become someone who lives with integrity that others can trust. Man, you are way ahead of the game. Okay, most politicians, you're way ahead of them, so you're doing really good. Week two, you want purpose? Want to live with daily purpose? All right, that's leadership, having purpose, waking up every day and knowing you're doing kingdom things. Bring a little risk into your life, or for some of you, a lot of risk. Live with gratitude. Be thankful. That's leadership. There's something about that that lets you understand why you're here. Live with a mission, that you are doing something in this world that's going to make a difference. Lead, that's leadership. And then ultimately just take on leadership. This is what we're about here at The Journey. So take these principles, use them in your life. If you have questions about this stuff, anything we talked about today, any of us are available. Again, they are equal with me. I know you see me more often, but you can talk to them or me at any time. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for today, the information that we kind of processed today. We just gave a lot. And I kind of, went back and forth all week on how to do this and how much to put out, and we talked about it Monday night, and I'm just, I hope this came off well. I think my biggest prayer, God, is that people in here, first and foremost, do see themselves as ministers, leaders. A phrase I didn't use today, God, is there's no the before minister or ministry. It's just one of the things that people say, I'm in the ministry, or I'm the minister. We're all ministers. We're all in the ministry. We can all do things in our lives, whether that's at home, in our neighborhoods. I pray for people at their work tomorrow or at their schools. Wherever we go with our children or with other family members or even with our parents, we can be leaders. We can be ministers. And so I pray even just some people who this seems really foreign to them, if they even raise that level just a little bit today, I pray, God, for them that it'll, you know, keep percolating. They'll keep processing it. And it'll be a really positive thing in the future for them. Thank you for this church. I say this with just everything I am. It has been an absolute honor to serve this church. And Rob and Jackie and I all feel that way. And we're just thankful to have such good people. So thank you, God, for this group. And God, just thank you for who you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen.